Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sabbath. We thank you that you brought us each from our respective homes to this place. We pray you'd speak peace to our hearts, whatever we face this week. We pray you'd take away today in this study our anxieties, our worries. Help us to trust you, to find confidence in you as our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled our study, The United States of Anxiety. It was in the fall of last year when the Chicago Tribune wrote an article entitled, The United States of Anxiety, and they listed five different things that are fueling the worries of America. Number one was the economy. I suppose that still is number one. Number two was Iraq. Number three, health care. Number four, immigration. And number five, energy. And there have been a number of individuals who have used the phrase, the United States of Anxiety, in other articles documenting the worries that are plaguing America today. In fact, a lady by the name of Lauren Ivanot wrote an article entitled, The United States of Anxiety. And in the article, she said, are you worried? It's the most common mental illness in America, anxiety or worry. In fact, I understand some 40 million Americans struggle with anxiety or struggle with worry. Three of the top 10 best-selling drugs today on the market relate to anxiety or to worry. And here's a statement from the National Institute of Health. Anxiety disorders are the number one mental health problem in America, surpassing even depression in numbers. Maybe somebody ought to write a book on worry. We have now a seminar for depression. Maybe we ought to make a seminar on worry. Women suffer from anxiety and stress almost twice as much as men. I suppose maybe we should have left out that statistic, huh, ladies? Seniors also struggle with anxiety. It's the most common mental health problem facing seniors. Even children today are struggling with worry, according to a recent survey I read. Now, when I was a child, not too long ago, I seemed like I didn't worry about anything. Mom and Dad knew everything. They owned everything. So why did I need to worry? Now, my parents, they were not rich. In fact, most of my clothes, when I got clothes, were from Goodwill. Or from a hand-me-down. But we had a garden. I had all the food I wanted to eat. I had an old bicycle. What did I have to worry about? In the last fall, ABC News had an article entitled, Recession's Toll is Written in Cutbacks, Layoffs, and Worry. In fact, I printed out the article. I wanted to share some of the statistics from this article. It says, across the country's kitchen tables, this recession is written in cutbacks, layoffs, and pure worry. Job insecurity is its worst in 33 years of polls. Now, that was about 7 months ago. I would say that probably it's even worse today. And some of the other statistics, it says two-thirds of Americans are worried about maintaining their standard of living. Up 51% from a year ago, nearly a 30% increase. One in four is very worried. One out of every four Americans is very worried about maintaining their standard of living. The article went on to say 53% are concerned about being able to afford health care for themselves or a family member. A third are very worried. Concern jumps to 59% among women, compared with 46% among men. It rises to 75% among lower-income Americans. A majority in this group are very worried that they're going to be able to afford health care. Nearly 4 in 10 Americans, 36%, are concerned about being able to heat their homes this winter. This was back in December. Well, I guess we don't have that worry anymore now, huh? Maybe we're worrying about being able to cool our homes. By the way, in Montana, where we live, Wednesday, or maybe it was Tuesday, it was 37 degrees when I got up. So if you get too hot here in California, just come up to Montana. But people back in December were worried about heating their homes. Nearly 4 in 10, that's 37%, are worried about being able to keep up with future rent or mortgage payments. Are you worried about being able to pay your mortgage or your rent? 55% of those with incomes under $35,000 are worried about being able to keep up their basic housing costs. And we could go on and on. The article I thought was very interesting. Over and over again, it said in the article, people were very worried. In fact, I had another article here, a news clipping. Charities are worried as donations fall. So even charities today are worried. People are worried about all sorts of things. They're worried about their job, keeping their job. Those who have lost a job are worried about finding a job. People are worried about their stock market portfolio. In fact, I had a lady tell me recently that her retirement plan had, she had lost 60% of the value of her retirement over this economic crisis. What are you worrying about today? Time magazine had an article entitled, cover article entitled, Be Worried, Be Very Worried. Is that hard today to be very worried? Not hard at all, is it? What are you worrying about these days? If you were to make a list of all the things that you have to worry about, how long would the list be? Do we have anything to worry about? Do you have anything to worry about? Somebody said no. Well, good for you. But I'll bet there's a lot of people here that are do have, you probably came in today with some anxiety, some worries. Or maybe those of you that are watching on the internet, on television, are worried about the future, are worried about the present, are worried about your job, are worried about the economy, are worried about whatever. Whatever your worries are, I want to give you today some encouragement from the scriptures. This is from Philippians 4, verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply how much? All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's so good it ought to be repeated. In fact, let's repeat it together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you need it and God knows that you need it, what will God do? He's going to supply it out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, not everything we think we need, do we need? Right? When my little girl was young, she's almost 20 now, but when she was a toddler sitting in her high chair, she would sometimes point across the kitchen table when we were having a meal and she, with her little finger, and she'd say, I need some pie. Well, she thought she did. Parents, we know better than our children what they really need, don't we? God knows better than we what we really need, and the promise is, if we need it, what? God will supply it. We sing the song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Let's read it again from Philippians 4, verse 19. But, altogether, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, what do you have to worry about? What do you have to, since God is going to provide all your needs, what do we really have to worry about? Here's a statement from Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings, which says this, he who has given his life to God in ministry to his children is linked with him who has the resources, has all the resources of the universe at his command. How wealthy is God? Now, I know there are many companies today that are laying off. God is not laying off. God is not out of business. God is not bankrupt. He has all the resources of the universe. And if you've linked yourself to God, will he take care of you? Oh, yes. The Lord will not fail him in the hour of suffering and need. That's a promise. Suppose For example, you had a card that would give you anything you needed or anything you wanted from Costco. Now, some of you maybe that are watching, you don't have a Costco in your area. Well, Sam's Club or Walmart or whatever. Would you have anything to worry for if you had a card that would give you all that you needed out of the Costco warehouse and any amount you wanted? We could lay aside all of our worries, right? Well, does God have more than Costco? Oh, yes. My God shall supply all your need. Here's another statement. This is from Testimonies to the Church, Volume 2, page 72. If you're taking notes, mark that. It says, there is one to whom you can go for counsel, whose wisdom is infinite. He has invited you to come to him, for he will what? He will supply your need. Now, I know this is in the context of counsel, this particular statement. But sometimes we need counsel too, don't we? Have you ever worried about what to do? Have you ever worried about how to plan? Do we need counsel sometimes? God will not only provide the need for counsel, he'll provide all of our personal needs as well, our practical needs, our material needs. Reading on, it says, if by faith you cast all your care upon him who marks the falling of a sparrow, you will not trust in vain. Somebody say amen. God marks the falling of a sparrow. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Ukraine, and I was following a car full of pastors, and we were driving to a pastor's meeting. And as we were driving along, a flock of sparrows flew across the road in front of us. And I saw two sparrows go rolling down the highway, got hit by the car in front of me. And the very first thought that came to my mind was, God marks even the falling of a sparrow. God saw those two sparrows fall. Since God marks the falling of a sparrow, does he mark our anxieties? Does he mark our cares, our concerns? Since God takes care of sparrows, won't he take care of you? Somebody wrote a poem. It says this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. There's quite a lesson in that, isn't there? Since God takes care of the sparrows and you're worth more than many sparrows, Jesus said, will not God take care of you? So, what do you have to worry about? Let's again read that statement from Philippians 4:19 all together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will take care of you. Amen. So we really don't have anything to worry about. Here's another statement. This is from the Morning Watch book, That I May Know Him, page 226. The time has come and we are to expect large blessings from the Lord. What kind of blessings? Large blessings. God is not in the business of downsizing. Somebody say amen. I know there are a lot of companies that are downsizing. God is not needing to downsize. He has all the riches of the universe. The time has come when we are to expect large blessings from the Lord. We must rise to a higher standard on the subject of faith. We have too little faith. Question. Which do you have more of today? Worry or faith? Well, maybe you better not answer that. Reading on, it says, the word of God is our endorsement. What's an endorsement? Did you ever endorse a check? What's an endorsement? It's a signature validating something. So we have the word of God as our endorsement. The word of God is our endorsement. We must take it simply believing every word. With this assurance, we may claim what? Large things. And according to our faith, it will be unto us. The work of faith means more than we think. It means genuine reliance upon the naked word of God. If God says it, I believe it. By our actions, we are to show that we believe that God will do just as he has said. What has God said? Let's read it all together again. Philippians 4, verse 19, all together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what God's word has said. That's your endorsement. So do you need to worry? We really don't have anything to worry about. Faith really is the antidote to worry. It's the remedy for worry. It is the antonym of worry, or the opposite of worry. Faith. Which do you have more of, faith or worry? Let's define worry. Worry is a this is from the dictionary. Worry is a mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Worry is anticipating trouble. That's what worry is. Do you have any of that? Or do you have much of that? I think everybody at some point has some degree of worry. Worry is actually an eye disease. And by the way, I can be spelled in more than one way, right? You can spell I, E-Y-E, or you can spell I with one letter. I. Worry is an I. I want to prove this to you. This is from Desire of Ages, page 330. It says, worry is blind and cannot discern the... See, I told you worry was an eye disease. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future. What's the point in worrying then? Would you like to be blinded? How many want to be blinded? Of course not. Worry is what? Blind and cannot discern the future. We'll come back to this point later today, this point about worry being producing blindness. You can actually worry yourself sick. Did you ever do that? People are today worrying themselves sick. In fact, here's a statement from a doctor. This is from Dr. Irene Hickman from California State University here in Sacramento, who said this: the deep-seated fear of not having enough money is responsible for 9 out of 10 illnesses in this country. That's what she says. Now, I don't know if I would put the statistic that high, but she says 9 out of 10 illnesses in this country are caused by concern or worry about not having enough money. In addition, it prolongs other illnesses by aggravating a patient's physical condition. That's what Dr. Irene Hickman said. Here's another doctor, a psychologist, professional counselor, Dr. Mural Larson, says money matters do worry many of us, don't they? Don't they? Don't they? They don't, huh? At least you folks here in Sacramento Central. Money matters do worry many of us, don't they? Worry causes stress, and stress leads to ulcers, high blood pressure, allergies, heart troubles, gastrointestinal diseases, headaches, and other problems. See, these are the results of worry. Some cancer authorities even claim that stress increases one's susceptibility to cancer. That's something you ought to worry about. Worry will cause you, possibly, to get cancer. You ought to worry about that fact, right? There's something else you can add to your worry list. Worry might cause you cancer. Here's another doctor. This is from Dr. Charles Mayo. You ever heard of the Mayo Clinic? Dr. Charles H. Mayo said, worry affects the circulation, the glands, the whole nervous system. I have never known a man who died from overwork, but many who died from doubt. Worry is a lack of what? It's a lack of faith. It's doubting the ability of God to take care of us. Here's a statement from Ministry of Healing. Page 241, if you have the book, mark it down, you can read it. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression or worry, that is. You can worry yourself sick, and there are a lot of people today that are doing that, worrying themselves sick. Let me ask you this. Is there any benefit, any real benefit to worry? Will worry accomplish anything for you? Yes or no? So why worry? Have you ever worried about something only to later discover that you really didn't have anything to worry about at all? Never happened to you? Just a few weeks ago, I was going to preach Sabbath morning in Ukraine, and I was going to preach two sermons. And so I got up, and after my prayer and my meditation, I was going to get ready to, study about these two sermons I was going to preach. And so I went to my little desk there to get my flash drive. I had this little flash drive that had all my sermon materials on, my slides in Ukrainian or in Russian. We'd had them all translated, and I had formatted them all. And I couldn't find it. It wasn't on my desk. And so I went to my computer bag, and I opened up the place where I always keep my little flash drive. It wasn't there. So I went over to the windowsill where I put the keys to the car. They weren't there. And so what did I start doing? I started to worry. Because, you know, I had all my presentations, my slides on this little flash drive. It represented hours and hours of work, translation and formatting. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do now the rest of my series? Because this is about halfway through the series, and I've lost my flash drive. By the way, the reasons why is saving everything on my flash drive because my hard drive on my computer was so full up, I couldn't put anything else on it. So I was saving it all on the flash drive, and I hadn't lost it yet. But this Sabbath morning, I got up. I couldn't find it anywhere. And the Holy Spirit impressed me. One of the sermons you're going to preach, you don't need slides for anyway, so study that one. And by the time you finish, then your flash drive will show up. Well, I wasn't sure I trusted that. But what else could I do? I looked all over. I couldn't find the flash drive. So I got my Bible and my sermon notes, and I sat down, and I studied the sermon that I was going to preach without slides. In the meantime, my son got up. My daughter got up. My wife got up. And so after I'd finished studying for that sermon without slides, I asked my wife, "Have you seen my flash drive?" She said, "No, I haven't seen it." I asked my daughter, "Have you seen my flash drive?" She hadn't seen it. My son hadn't seen it. So what did I start doing then again? Started worrying, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have slides. I won't be able to present this topic without those Russian slides." About that time, my son says, "Oh, hey, Dad, here's your flash drive." He had put his computer, I set it down, he'd put his computer on top of it, so I didn't see it. I had all that unnecessary worrying for nothing. Reminds me, some months ago, we were going to go visit a family, and there was a particular situation in this family we were going to go visit we were worried about. We weren't sure how we were going to deal with this situation. So we planned, my wife and I, how we were going to deal with the situation when we got to this family's home. We worried about it. When we got to the home, the situation didn't even exist. And I thought, what a lesson, all that unnecessary anxiety, all that unnecessary worrying for nothing. Did you ever do that? Worry, and then you get to the situation, you find out you really didn't have anything to worry about. Here's what another doctor said. Dr. Paul Adolf. Anxiety and worry represent forms of fear which project themselves into the future and often concern themselves with imaginary situations which never come to pass. Continuing, indeed, it often happens when the future situation arrives, it is devoid of all the contemplated elements which are anticipated. Have you ever experienced that? Did all that worrying, and then you got to the situation, you didn't even need to worry at all. Here's an interesting list of statistics of what the average person's worries are related to. 40% of the things we worry about on the average are things that will never happen. 40%. 30% are things about the past that can't be changed. They're 70% of all of our worries. 12% things about criticism by others, mostly untrue. There's 82% of our worries. 10% about health, which generally gets worse when we worry about it. There's 92% of our worries. 8% are about real problems that we're going to have to face and solve. Can you imagine all that unnecessary anxiety, all that unnecessary worrying for nothing? 92% of our worries are unnecessary on the average. Now, maybe your percentages are a bit higher than the 8% of things you're actually going to have to face. But on the average, 92% of all of our worries are unnecessary. So we come back to the question, what are you worrying about today? Do we really have anything to worry about? Let's write today a prescription for worry. There are five pills. This is a prescription. And we're using as our acronym, FAITH. Faith is the antidote to worry. So we're going to use faith as the acronym for the five pills in dealing with worries. I think all of us at some point worry about something to a greater or less degree. If you have any worries, if you have any anxieties, then you need to write down this prescription. The five pills for worry. Number one is F. F stands for focus. Focus on the positive. Usually when we focus on the negative, what happens? Does focus on the negative increase our faith or decrease our faith? It only decreases our faith. We worry and worry and worry, and we don't have faith. Focus on the positive. Reminds me, I read in the book Steps to Christ, and by the way, if you don't have the book Steps to Christ, you can write in to the Sacramento Church online and get one of these books, probably the paperback. I have a hardback edition. You ought to read this book or reread this book. And by the way, you can download this book off the internet in the audio form. I often, when I'm running in the morning, getting my exercise, I'm listening to Steps to Christ. You talk about a blessing. You feed your soul while you're getting your exercise. I've listened to Steps to Christ now I don't know how many times, and every time I listen to it, I'm blessed. There's a chapter on what to do with doubt. You have any problems, any anxiety, you ought to read the chapter, What to Do with Doubt. But anyway, Steps to Christ talks about focusing on the positive. Ellen White tells a story of how she had a dream about this particular lady that was always worrying about stuff, and she'd written to Ellen White about her anxieties and fears. And Ellen White had a dream. In her dream, she was walking with this lady who had all of her worries through a garden full of flowers. And Ellen White was enjoying the flowers. And suddenly this lady called to her and she says, "Look, there's thorns here in the garden." And Ellen White looked over, and sure enough, there was thorns right in the front, right in the path of this lady. But this lady wasn't even in the path. She'd gotten off the path and she was out here in the briars. And the gardener said, "Leave the briars alone. They're only going to hurt you. Pick the roses. Pick the flowers. Focus on the positive." We have a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the what? The things of earth will what? Grow straight. The worries of this life will what? Grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Focus on the positive. Here's a statement from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. You can mark it in your notes today. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." What are we looking at? The glory, or the character of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Would you like to be changed? I didn't quite hear that. Yeah. You want to become like Jesus? Then we have to behold him. Focus on the positive. The more you focus on your worries, the less you'll see Jesus. That's a fact. So focus on the positive. Here's another text. This is from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. It says, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Has he? Has the Lord helped you in the past? Then do you have to fear the future? There's a statement that I think many of you know from the book Life Sketches, page 196. It says, "In reviewing our past history, having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God." How about you? Can you say that? Praise God. Reading on. As I see what the Lord has wrought, I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as leader. And then it says, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about for the future. Can anybody finish that quotation? You ought to know that by heart. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way that God has led us and his teaching in our past history. Do you need to worry about the future? Only as you forget the way God guided you in the past. If you remember the way that God led you in the past, you don't have to worry about the future. There's a text from 2 Chronicles. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible too. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Take out your Bible today. I hope you brought one. We're going to read from the Bible, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. This is the story of Jehoshaphat. It was facing an enemy army, facing a big problem. Any of you facing a problem? A big problem? Maybe you lost your job and you're not sure if you're going to be able to pay the mortgage or pay the bills, or maybe your marriage is disintegrating, or maybe you're worried about your children. You're facing a big problem. So was Jehoshaphat. And so it says here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, Jehoshaphat in prayer says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? That's the enemies coming against him. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do, Lord. We have no strength against this problem. But what did Jehoshaphat then say? But our eyes are where? Our eyes are upon thee. Where are your eyes today? On your problems? They'll get bigger. Our eyes are upon thee. If you'll turn away from the problems, if you'll turn away from your anxieties and your worries and focus upon Jesus, you'll find your worries aren't near as bad, and Jesus will help you with dealing with those, the 8% of the things we're actually going to have to face. He'll help you solve those. And so it says, we don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are upon thee. I want to experience that, don't you? When I face troubles and problems, I want to look to Jesus, who has the answer to every problem. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 202, says this: if more praising of God were engaged in now, hope and courage and faith would steadily what? Increase. Would you like to have an increase of faith, an increase of hope, or an increase of anxiety? Which do you want? If you want to have an increase of faith, an increase of hope, then what do you need to do? You need to praise God more for what he's done for you. Has God done anything for you? I have people say, oh, God doesn't do anything. He doesn't care about me. You know who told you that lie? That's the old devil that tells you. The fact that you're alive indicates that God must have some care about you. He's got a mansion in glory prepared for you. If you have to suffer any problems or trials in this life to prepare you to live for all eternity, is it worth it? You need not fear. God's leading. You need to trust him. So F in our formula for worry, our prescription for worry, is focus on the positive. Do that. Let's move on to the A. A stands for acquaint yourself with God. And I got this A from Job chapter 22, verse 21. Job 22, verse 21 says, acquaint now thyself with him. That's with God. And be at what? At peace. Would you like to have peace? Then what you must do is acquaint yourself with God. When you become acquainted with God, then you experience peace. So Job says, thereby good shall come upon thee. Is that something to worry about? I never knew anybody that worried that good would come upon them. We're always worrying about the bad that's going to come upon us. Part of the prescription for worry is to become acquainted with God. When you become acquainted with God, then you have peace, you experience peace. How do we become acquainted with God? Through what? through his word. You want to become acquainted with God, then study the Bible. You'll discover that as you study God's word, you find those wonderful promises that we can use in defense against worry. So acquaint yourself with God and with God's wonderful promises. The promises of God are sort of like no trespassing signs against the worry trespassers. Did you ever see the sign that said, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again? You ever see that sign? We live up there in Montana where we live. Seems like everybody has a no trespassing sign. I don't know if it's because so many tourists come up to that area near Glacier Park, but everybody has a no trespassing sign. We do too. For the hunters. We don't like the hunters that come on our place, but I've seen the sign that says trespassers will be shot, survivors shot again. We ought to put up trespassing signs against all the worries that trespass into our experience. Worry is a trespasser that will be shot. Surviving worries will be shot again. And what are we going to shoot them with? The word of God, the promises of God. Let's read one of those promises whereby you can shoot those worriers. Here it is all together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. The word of God brings you into acquaintance with God. So the second pill in our recipe for worry is acquaint yourself with God and with God's precious promises. Let's move on to the I. I stands for implore God. What does it mean to implore? Let me share with you what the dictionary says for implore. Implore means to call upon in supplication, to entreat. What's another word for that? Prayer. Now, I had to make it fit with our faith, see? So I used the word implore. Implore God. Take your problems, your worries to God. Somebody once said, why pray when you can worry? Now, that's wrong, isn't it? That ought to be, why worry when you can pray? There's another promise that I'd like you to look up with me. This is from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. You have your Bible open, so go to the New Testament now. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. And I want you to see this. This was our scripture reading for today. Philippians chapter 4, and we're reading verses 6 and 7. Have you found that? If you have found that, say amen. All right, sounds like most of you are there. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for how much? For nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Would you like to have that? And the peace of God, that doesn't sound like worry to me. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Steps to Christ, page 70 says, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. So if your life is filled with anxiety, if your life is filled with worry, what should that tell you? You're not in Christ. A life in Christ is a life of restfulness. I want to share this verse, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, from the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds against worry. Well, I didn't say that, but I'm putting that in. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So here's the lesson. Don't what? Worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. That's what the Bible says. So do you need to worry? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Question, how much will worry accomplish? How much then will prayer accomplish? Everything. Prayer moves the arm of omnipotence. Let me read that to you, with you. This is from Christ Object Lessons, page 172 and 3. If you have the book, right, mark it down. Christ Object Lessons 172 and 3 says, prayer moves the arm of omnipotence. Prayer has subdued kingdoms. Has worry ever done that? Has it? No. Prayer has wrought righteousness. Did worry ever work out righteousness? No. Prayer has obtained promises. Has worry? No. Prayer has stopped the mouth of lions. Did worry ever do that? You're getting kind of quiet out there. Have I run out of time already? You haven't fallen asleep yet, have you? Prayer has quenched the violence of fire. Did worry ever do that? Hello? Prayer has turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is, of course, from Hebrews. Worry never did any of that. Prayer has done all of that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If we surrender our lives to His service, to God's service, we can never. How often is never? Never is never. We can never be placed in a position for which God has not made provision. Can you say amen? If you've given yourself to God, God will never allow you to be put in a situation that He hasn't made provision for. So then, do you need to worry? We really don't need to worry about anything. We sing the song. You're familiar with this song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Why worry when you can pray? Take your worries, your anxieties, your fears to God. Mary Crowley once said this, every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. Have you ever laid awake at night worrying about something? Why not turn it over to God? He's going to stay up all night. You don't need to stay up worrying. It's going to take away from your sleep and you'll be less prepared to face tomorrow's trials. Let's move on to the next pill in our prescription for worry. F is for focus. A, acquaint yourself with God and His promises. I is implore. T stands for trust in the Word of God. If God says it, we believe it. That settles it. Trust in the Word of God. Again, here's that statement we read earlier. That I may know Him, page 226 says, the work of faith means more than we think. It means genuine reliance upon the naked Word of God. By our actions, we are to show that we believe that God will do just as He has said. When we worry, what are we showing by our actions? We're showing unbelief. We're showing we don't believe that God is going to do just as He has said. God has said, I will provide how much of our needs? All of our needs. If you're taking notes, you can put out a verse. We won't look it up, but put it in your notes today. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord. And verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. That sounds the opposite of worry. When you're worrying, you're not resting in the Lord. Trust in the Word of God. That's the T in our prescription for worry. Philippians 4, verse 19. Let's read it again together. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what God's Word says. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Live it. Show it by your life, by your actions. You believe the Word of God. Let's move on to the H now. in the five pills for anxiety. H stands for heaven first. Heaven, where does that come from? Heaven first. Is there a text that Jesus talked about putting heaven first? Where is that verse? It comes from Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. Turn there, please, in your Bible. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. Heaven first. Seek ye. Well, we'll read it here. Some of you could probably quote it. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Are you there now? All right, sounds like most of you are. Matthew 6, 33 says, but seek you when? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how much? All these things shall be what? Added unto you. All what things? Well, if you read verses 31, 32, it says what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, the bills. In other words, all the things that the world is seeking after, all the worries. God says, if you put me first, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, what will God do? He's going to add all those other things. Now, if that's true, it is true, then do we need to worry? Notice the next verse. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. What does that mean? That means don't worry about tomorrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has not given you grace for tomorrow. In fact, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25 says, for as your days, so shall your strength be. If you worry about tomorrow, you know what you're doing? You're bringing tomorrow's problems, tomorrow's trials, tomorrow's anxieties into today. You haven't even been given enough strength for those. God gives you only the strength for the day. So if you bring in tomorrow's worries, do you have strength to deal with them? No. And when you get to tomorrow, you're already going to be wore out because you face tomorrow's worries today, or you thought you could face them. You worried about them today. So when you get to tomorrow, you're being more tired than you would have been if you hadn't worried. Jesus says, put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I don't want you to answer this, but I want you to answer in your own heart. Ask yourself today, am I in my life seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Answer that in your own heart. If you are, you have nothing to worry about. If you're not, that's what you need to worry about. Because if we're not seeking God first and his kingdom first, then we might miss out. That's worth worrying about. But if you're seeking first God's kingdom, God's righteousness, you have nothing that you need to worry about. So here we have our prescription for anxiety. F stands for focus. Focus on the positive. A stands for acquaint. Acquaint yourself with God and with God's wonderful promises. You need to study God's word, memorize God's word, so that when these intruders, these trespassers come into your life, the worries, what are you going to do with them? Shoot them with the word of God. I should encourage you, I will encourage you today, memorize the word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, and it doesn't say this, and that I might not worry. I added that. You know, I've been trying this year to memorize a verse a day. I did some calculating. If I had memorized one verse of Scripture every day since I first became a Christian, I would have memorized the entire New Testament by now. I thought, what a shame. It's not hard to memorize one verse a day. I got these little cards. You drive down the highway. Now, don't do it when you're driving. Well, you stop at the stoplight. How long does it take for some of these stoplights, they seem like they never turn green. And you know what I found? I found I was no longer fretting when the light was red and I was in a hurry. Because I had my verse there, and so I was memorizing Scripture until the guy behind me honked. Then I know I needed to move. Study God's word, memorize Scripture. The I stood for I stands for implore God. Take your problems, take your burdens, your anxieties to Jesus in prayer. The T stands for trusting the word of God. God says it, believe it. He promised he'd take care of you. Believe that promise. And then the H, put God's kingdom first in your life, heaven first. Now, I want to come back today to the eye trouble, because worry is an eye disease. An eye is spelled in more than one way. Let's read the statement here. This is from Desire of Ages, page 330. You ought to read this. Desire of Ages, 330. Mark it down. It says, worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. Continuing, in every difficulty, how many? In every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. Our Heavenly Father has how many? 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. How many of those 1,000 ways do you need to deal with the problem you're facing? Just one. Your Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for that trouble, that problem you're facing, you don't even know about. Since he has so many ways to take care of your problems, do you need to worry? Let's read this again. In every difficulty, God has his way prepared to bring relief. That's why you say, see, I told you, you need to mark this down and write it on a card, memorize it. In every difficulty, God has a way prepared to bring relief. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. Moving on now. It says, those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. What do we need to worry about then? What are you worrying about today? Do you have anything to worry about? Well, you might think you do, and you might have that 8% of things you really do need to worry about. But since God has a way prepared out of every difficulty, 1,000 ways you don't even know about, do you really need to worry about anything? Hudson Taylor said this, the great missionary to China, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then, when we have given all over to him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. In other words, there'll be nothing left for us to worry about. We sing the song, all to Jesus, I surrender. All except my worries. Well, that's kind of how we live our lives, right? We're willing to sing the song, but when it comes to reality, we don't want to surrender all of our worries to God. Let's read again that text from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Remember that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And again, the promise that we've been over and over again reading today. Let's read it all together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you need to worry? You may have come in this chapel today with a heart full of anxiety. You may have come in today with lots of worries. You came with your Bible, yes, but you came with a bundle of unseen anxiety. Today, Jesus wants to take away that heavy burden. What does Jesus say? Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You're laden down, burdened down with all these concerns, all this worry. And Jesus says to you, come. Come unto me with all your worries, all your anxieties, and I will what? I will give you rest. I want to lay down my worries, don't you? Which would you like to have more of? Faith or worry? I want more faith and less worry, don't you? How many want to tell Jesus, Lord, I want to have more faith, more trust in you, and less worry? Let me see your hand.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.